Welcome to the Sunday School Hour, where each lesson builds upon the foundation of Christ. Grab your Bible, and let's join our teacher, Joe Thornton, as he guides us in this week's study.
Today we're back in Colossians chapter 4. We've been looking at verses 2 through 6. So if you're able to have a Bible with you, I ask that you turn to Colossians chapter 4. Now, we've already looked through verses 2 through 5 last time, but let's just review it quickly. Paul had turned his attention to the subject of prayer and evangelism. In verses 2 through 4, we learned how to pray, to continue in prayer, to pray for the Apostle Paul. He wanted to be on the prayer list. And then in verse number 5, he taught us how we're to walk, that we're to walk in wisdom towards those that are without, that we're to redeem the time. Remember that God gives each of us 1,440 minutes a day that has to be used or squandered. And then now we're in verse number 6, and the Apostle Paul gives the Colossian believers and us instruction on how to talk. Now notice the divine order here. We begin with prayer, and then how we live, and then how we speak. See, it's our prayer that gives us the foundation of our relationship and fellowship with the Lord, how to get our life where it needs to be, living out the life of Christ before others. And then we earn that opportunity so many times to speak of the Lord and why we live the way that we live. And so let's look at verse number 6 in Colossians chapter 4. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. John Phillips gives an illustration I think is good at this point in our study. He wrote, in the old days when train travel was common and people on long journeys paid for a sleeping car, a train was roaring across the United States. It was nighttime. Most passengers were in their bunks. But in one of the sleeping cars, the passengers were being kept awake by the cries of a small child. One of the sleepless passengers could stand it no longer. He raised an angry voice. "Can't you keep that child quiet?" he demanded. "Surely the child's mother ought to be able to control all this crying." A man's voice replied, "I'm very sorry, sir. I'm doing the best I can, but the child's mother can't keep the poor child quiet. She's in a coffin in the baggage van at the end of the train. She died yesterday." My friend, Bible tells us, let your speech be always with grace. When you think of the word grace, grace refers to that which affords joy, pleasure, delight, sweetness, charm, loveliness, grace of speech, goodwill, loving kindness, favored. That's the way a Christian is supposed to talk. We never know what somebody else is going through, but boy, our words can set them off, or our words can settle them and our spirits at the same time. Paul goes on to say, seasoned with salt. Interesting. Salt is at least three things we can think of. Salt is a preservative. Salt is a flavoring. And of course, salt makes you thirsty. Max Lucado wrote, "You have the power to change someone's life simply by the words you speak." This man in our illustration didn't know what he was talking about. He responded in anger to a sad situation that somebody else was going through. Let's not be guilty of that. Let our speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt. And then Paul closes the verse out, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. If you have your Bibles with you, please turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 15. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 15, the Bible tells us, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." If we are the prayer warriors that we're supposed to be, and we're living the life that God wants us to live, many times we will earn people's respect to be able to speak about our Lord and about our Savior. R.C. Sproul was with the Lord, but he had opened up a Bible center called Legionnaire Center. In it, he made a place available where people could come and learn the Word of God. This was one of the ministries that he had when he was here. He was a very famous theologian. But he tells a story of one of his students at the study center at Legionnaire that he had one time. So I'm reading from his biography by Stephen Nichols about a man named Harvey. "Of all the students who came to the study center, Harvey stood out in R.C.'s memory. He had cerebral palsy, and he came to the study center over a few summers and a few January terms. Back at his college, a group of charismatic students had tried to heal Harvey. When their efforts didn't work, they told Harvey that he wasn't healed because he lacked faith, and that likely he wasn't even a Christian. The next time he came to the study center, he told R.C. what had happened. R.C. assured him that he did not lack faith and that he was a Christian, and they prayed together. Somewhere in the middle, R.C. prayed this line, 'Lord, please help this man understand that he is fully justified in your sight and is clothed with the righteousness of Christ.' When they finished, R.C. noticed tears streaming down Harvey's face. R.C. asked what was wrong. Harvey replied, 'That was the first time in my life that anybody ever called me a man.' We love Harvey," R.C. said, and they continued to stay in touch decades later. Truly, it is a fact that what we say affects people. We can build people up or we can tear people down. The power of the tongue is a powerful, powerful thing. How do we to talk? Always with grace, seasoned with salt, that we may know how we ought to answer every man." Okay, let's go back to Colossians chapter 4, and let's begin reading in verse number 7. The Apostle Paul is going to introduce to us some of his friends here in chapter number 4. So let's start with the first one found in verse 7. Now, it's important to note here that on the list of the most important relationships that we can have, the relationship with Christ is number one. Second on the list would be family and friends. The book of Acts and the writings of Paul revealed that the apostle, he had a host of Christian friends. What was true of Paul is also true of us. We need others if we're going to succeed in ministry. No one is an island unto themselves. I feel sorry for Christians that don't feel that the local church is important, because it is important. Fellowship and ministry with other Christians, that's God's plan. No one can have the kind of ministry like Paul had without friends, without people supporting and helping and meeting needs that we can't do by ourselves. And Paul has some wonderful friends, but the thing about Paul's friends, they were just regular people, just like you and I. So we're going to look at a few of these friends and their unique contributions to the cause of Christ. But let's begin in verses 7 and 8. "All my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your estate and comfort your hearts. Now, Tychicus, we're going to call him a dependable friend. I want to share something here that David Jeremiah shares in his book. It's about what a friend is. And it's a story about a shopkeeper named Billy Brown, who was a personal friend of Abraham Lincoln when he was president. And Billy Brown, he made the trip from Illinois, and he decided he wanted to go to the White House, and he wanted to see his friend, Mr. Lincoln. Well, when he got there, one of the attendants or the aides asked him, "Hey, do you have an appointment?" "No, sir," replied Billy. "I ain't, and it ain't necessary. I reckon Mr. Lincoln's old friends don't need them. So you just trot along and tell him Billy Brown's here. See what he says." Well, you can imagine the response of the aide, but he frowns and he goes. And about a couple of minutes later, the door opens up and out comes Mr. Lincoln, face aglow. "Billy," he said, pumping his friend's hand. "Now I am glad to see you. Come right in. You're going to stay for supper with Mary and me." Well, after Mr. Lincoln discharged some immediate responsibilities, the two men went to the back of the house, and they sat down and they began to have a conversation. Billy later put it that they talked and talked. "He asked me about pretty nigh everybody in Springfield. I just let loose and told him about the weddings and the births and funerals and the buildings, and I guess there wasn't a yarn I'd heard in the 3.5 years he'd been away that I didn't spin for him." Then he laughs. You ought to hear him laugh. "For I could see what they'd been doing to him. Always was a thin man, but he was thinner than ever now. And his face was kind of drawn and gray, enough to make you cry." Well, later that evening, Billy said goodbye to the president. The president tried to get him to stay the night, but Billy was not wanting to impose on the president. So as he got ready to leave, Lincoln said, "Billy, what did you come down here for?" "I came to see you, Mr. Lincoln." "But you ain't asked me for anything, Billy. What is it? Out with it." "No, Mr. Lincoln. Just wanted to see you. Been so long since I'd seen you, I was afraid I'd forget some of them yarns if I didn't unload them soon." "Do you mean to tell me you came all the way from Springfield, Illinois, just to have a visit with me? That you ain't got no complaints in your pockets or advice up your sleeve?" "Yes, sir, that's about it," said Billy. Lincoln's eyes began to water. He said, "I'm homesick, Billy. It seems as if this war would never be over. Many a night I can see the boys dying on the fields, can hear their mothers crying for them at home, and I can't help it. Billy, you'll never know just what good you've done me." Wow, that's what friendship is. Antichus, in our scripture today, he also was a dependable friend. He's described here in the Bible by one of the highest compliments you could give to any Christian. He's referred to as a beloved brother. A beloved brother. He was so trustworthy that we believe that he was likely the messenger entrusted to deliver not only Paul's letter to the Colossians, but also the church at Ephesus. He's mentioned there in Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 21. Now, the interesting thing is that Rome to Ephesus was over 1,000 miles. It was over 1,000 miles to Colossae. This man who was given the original autographs of the letters to the church at Ephesus and the letters to the church at Colossae was entrusted to this man over 1,000 miles away to be delivered. Wow, I call that trustworthy. He's called a beloved brother, as we mentioned. It's interesting in the Gospel of John, in chapter 13 and verse 35, what Jesus said. He says here in John chapter 13 and verse 35, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." Tychicus was a trustworthy disciple. He was a beloved brother because he loved Paul. And he loved the ministry, but more than all that, he loved the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he's described here as a faithful minister. A faithful minister. Truth provokes passion. And that love translated into ministering to Paul and for Paul. That is the motivation that we have as ministers of the Lord Jesus Christ. He has shared with us his truth. Jesus Christ said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father by me." And that passion that's stirred up by the truth that God implants in the heart of the believer translates into ministry to and for Paul. You don't have to be a pastor. You don't have to be a Sunday school teacher. But as a Christian, you are called to the ministry. God wants to use each and every one of us. And what's the requirement? That we be faithful to do whatever it is that God would have us to do. And not only that, he was a fellow slave in the Lord, a fellow servant. Paul enjoyed the fellowship of Tychicus. In other words, they worked together in this ministry that God had called them both to. As we look at the picture of Tychicus, we see that he accompanied Paul in Acts chapter 20 and verse 4. I'm turning back in my Bible to the book of Acts chapter 20. Let me read verse number 4. "And there accompanied him into Asia Sopater Berea, and of the Thessalonians, Aristarchus." There he is. He's listed in verse number 4. Who was he with? He was with the missionaries that were with the Apostle Paul on this missions trip recorded in Acts chapter number 20. He was sent by Paul, as we said, to deliver the letter at Ephesus. He was sent to Ephesus in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12. He was mentioned in Titus chapter 3 and verse 12. Think about what it was like to be a friend of Paul. If you were a friend of Paul, you had something to do. You had a ministry because you're a friend of Paul. That's what Paul was interested in. It was not easy, though, to be a friend of Paul. There was a lot of hardships as well. But my, what a faithful and trustworthy and dependable friend Tychicus was. Now we're back in Colossians chapter 4, and there's a new friend. His name's Onesimus. And we read here in verse number 9, "With Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you, they shall make known unto you all things which are done here." Onesimus, he had a history. He was a fairly new friend because we believe the Apostle Paul led him to the Lord. But he had a history. He was a runaway slave. In fact, his story is found in the book of Philemon, so we're not going to take the time to read that today. But I encourage you, read the book of Philemon, and you'll read about the history of Onesimus. He ran away from his Christian master, made it all the way to Rome. What's the deal with that? Makes you wonder if Onesimus had heard of the Apostle Paul from his Christian master or from the church there in Colossae. We don't know of Paul ever going there, but certainly they had heard of the Apostle Paul and his ministry there in Ephesus, not that far from Colossae. So anyway, for whatever reason, over 1,000 miles away, he makes contact with the Apostle Paul, and he becomes a believer. And Paul instructs him what he needs to do is go back to his master. And so Paul writes the letter of Philemon and encourages his master to receive him and to treat him well, because now they're both brothers in Christ. Paul describes him here in verse number 9 as a faithful and beloved brother who is one of you. In his book, How to Win Friends and Influence People, Dale Carnegie wrote, "You can make more friends in 2 months by becoming interested in other people than you can in 2 years by trying to get other people interested in you." So yes, Onesimus was a new friend to the Apostle Paul, but didn't take much time for him to be greatly esteemed as a beloved brother. And Paul reminds the church at Colossae, hey, listen, Onesimus is one of you. He probably attended church there with his master. We don't know all the details. And he says, not only is he one of you, but Tychicus, in verse 8, might know your estate and comfort your hearts. And then he says, Onesimus shall make known unto you all the things which are done here. Tychicus and Onesimus were traveling together to deliver these epistles at the church at Ephesus and the church at Colossae. And Onesimus had the letter to Philemon. So both of them were traveling together, fulfilling this ministry, delivering these letters, these epistles that the Apostle Paul had wrote. I want you to look with me in Proverbs chapter number 18. We're talking about friends. We saw how dependable Tychicus was, but when we look at Onesimus, he's a new friend. And the Bible tells us how to make friends, and that's found in the book of Proverbs chapter number 18. It's a simple principle. Proverbs chapter 18, the Bible says, "A man that hath friends must show himself friendly." Let me read that again. "A man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother." How do we make new friends? Well, we got to be friendly. We got to be friendly. Find somebody that needs a friend and be that friend that they need. Now, as we begin to look at some of these friends of the Apostle Paul, for example, Tychicus, who was a dependable friend, Onesimus, that was a new friend, I don't want us to think about, I wish I had a friend like that. But what we really need to think about, can I be a friend like that? Can I be a dependable friend? Can I be somebody's new friend? And that's what we need to strive to do as God gives us the opportunity. Father, we thank you for the privilege and the opportunity that you give us to begin this study in chapter 4, the different friends of the Apostle Paul. And Lord, one of the things we learn is that these were ordinary people. They had things going on in their lives. Tychicus, he was dependable and faithful, and he was a hard worker. Onesimus, he was a runaway slave. And everybody comes with a story. Everybody comes with a history. And I just pray, Lord, that regardless of what our history is, that now as a Christian serving Christ, we can put that baggage aside, and we can reach out and be the kind of friend that Jesus would have us to be, who's the friend of friends. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
This has been the Sunday School Hour with Joe Thornton. Join us again next Sunday at the same time on this good station.